obviously have been debunked a long time ago. We know that you can't fly around the world with wax wings. We know that Mjolnir's probably not a real thing. We know that the Greek gods probably don't exist. We know that we know these things. And it shows what happens when a culture is completely ripped out of their mythology, out of their way of life. Because what mythology ultimately is yes, it acts as a guideline to help guide those through life. It has moral basis. All of these stories have moral lessons within them. What to do, what not to do, how to do things, why you should do things. It teaches you about perseverance, tenacity, overcoming obstacles. It teaches you how to lose. It teaches you about death. It teaches you everything. A good mythological culture teaches you all of those things. All of them. And what it does is it provides guidelines throughout your life. But think about it this way, right? The universe. Let's go back to our ancestors. Let's go back to the Germanic tribes, the ones who worshipped Odin and Thor, Freya and Tyr and all of them. Okay, let's use them as an example. The world is so complex, so massive, and our ancestors did not even come close to having the technology to understanding how the universe worked like we do today. Right? So what they have to do is they have to create a series of conscious images to help them rationalize the world that they live in, right? So we know that the universe is endless, and we know that we revolve around the sun. We know these things because of our technology. But they didn't have those. So what they had to do is they had to create stories to help them understand the universe. And what I've noticed in a lot of these themes and a lot of these myths is, yes, they're often human-based and they have a lot of metaphors and they're very symbolic and, they teach you about morality and ethics and, all that stuff like that. But there's a reason why they choose certain animals to be certain things. There's a reason why they choose certain gods to do certain things, and the symbology behind their symbols and why it has power, which I'm going to get to in a second. Actually, I should get to that right now. But each one of these mythologies is essentially a religion. What religion is a mythology that was taken hyper literally. All the magic was pulled out of a mythology and turned into a linear religion. It was turned into a doctrine, right? That's what religion is. That's what I've learned is that, and I'm not saying religion is just mythology, because that would be deducing it down to something that is not powerful. Religion is still powerful. Guys, I used to be super, super, listen to me right here, because this is when I start upsetting people. Understandably so, but listen. I used to be hardcore atheist, right? I would debate religious people left and right. I would try to, I don't even need to go into details about it, because you know what it's like if you are religious, or if you are atheist, or if you're in the middle, you know what it's like to watch the debate between a religious person and an atheist person unfold. I did it for fun. I binged on all the YouTube videos and all that stuff like that on how to debate a religious person, blah, blah, blah. Then I started learning about mythology. And then I understood that the Christians, the Catholics, the Jews, the Buddhist monks, they all followed a mythology, but they were all following these guidelines that help anchor them, tie them to themselves and to the earth. And then I was like, holy crap. I was like, I know in my mind, I'm like, okay, if it's helping them and if it's making them a better person, why am I trying to destabilize their mythology? Why am I trying to destabilize their world? I don't remember where I got this idea from, but think of religion, or aka mythology, as okay, let's do this. Think of the universe. Think of the light as your life, or as life as a whole. Let's do that. As a gaming console, right? So we all have the same gaming console, which is our body and our minds. But we can use a controller to help control us through this game of life. And each controller is a different mythology. So I may be playing the same console as a person, because I'm alive, I'm breathing, I'm in this world. I may be playing the same console, but I have a different controller. I have a different mythology. We all get to the same endpoint, guys. It all ends the same way. We all go to the same place. But it's just mythology and religion is the lens in which you choose to view the world. It's the controller that you pick to play the game. That's what mythology is. That's what it is. It makes so much sense. It's the lens in which you view the world. The controller in which you choose to play the game. That's all it is. And we all fight about which controller is better and you know, which one is more effective and which one is more efficient. But what I've learned is that each mythology, each religion has amazing, profound lessons. Every one. And I'm not saying that these religions haven't done bad things in the past. Almost every single religion that's ever existed, has done bad things. We all have blood on our hands. All of our ancestors have blood on their hands. All of our mythologies, all of our religions have blood on our hands. But there's such beautiful and profound lessons in all of these. And the thing is it goes, I go back to symbols, right? Now that we can understand that, why are symbols important? Why do they resonate with us? Why do people hold the cross and cry? Why do people choose certain Norse runes and draw power from them? Why do people do tarot cards? Why do people do all this stuff? Because the runes, the symbols, the cross, whatever you want to use for your religious symbol, it has power within it. Now, let me make this make more sense, because now I'm getting kind of mystical, right? I'm sounding a little bit like a whack job here. Let's put it this way. Let me get a sip of coffee, because this is about to get crazy. Oh, that's hot. Okay. I'm excited if you can't tell. I'm also pumped up on coffee if you can't tell that either. Okay. I don't know if I spoke about this in a previous podcast episode. I might have, but I'm not 100% sure. So let me think about this for a second. Why is the cross powerful? For example, if you were a Christian or if you're Catholic or you're Mormon or whatever, and you worship the cross, why, when you look at that cross, why does it resonate with you? Why do you feel hope when you look at it? Why do you feel a sense of divinity, a sense of power? Now, if I were to take some type of measuring tool, an electronic measuring tool, and I were to put that over the cross, nothing would be detected. Nothing. It doesn't give off electromagnetic pulses. It doesn't give off radio signals. It doesn't give off heat. It doesn't give off any. So why am I psychologically being triggered by the cross? Imagine this. Imagine if Christianity is not 40,000 years old, but imagine if let's say Christianity is about 10,000 years old. Okay, let's use that as an example since we're already on that. What if every single one of my ancestors, or many, many, many of my ancestors, held a cross in their hand, and every time they looked at that cross, they felt hope, they felt power, they felt strength. For 10,000 years, 10,000 years, they did that. Don't you think that there's a possibility that that symbol is actually ingrained in my psyche as a source of power? So meaning, isn't there a possibility that if my ancestors for 10,000 years held the cross and felt power, isn't there a possibility that if I've never seen the cross before, if I've never walked into a church before, is there a possibility that I might draw some psychological power from a church when I walk into it for the first time ever? Why is it that Christianity, Catholicism, Mormonism resonates so much with people? Now, let's go a little bit further back. Let's go back to the Norse religion, right? Let's go back to the Northern European mythologies, Odin, Thor, Freya, Tyr, all of them. Like, let's go back to them. Now, the Norse mythology is dated to be 40,000 years old plus, 30,000 years older than Christianity. Now, that doesn't say that there's anything. I appreciate Christianity, but what I choose to follow is the Norse Asatru, whatever. I don't like saying pagan. I don't like saying heathen. It's been hijacked so many times. But I prefer to follow the Asatru religion, the native religion of the Europeans, Odin, Thor, and all of them. Now, here's why. I believe that symbols and mythologies are passed through generations. We know that. We pass on stories. We pass on symbols to each other. You know, it's our tradition. It's you know, whatever. And this goes back from everything from Native Americans to Northern Europeans to the Aztec Mexicans to whatever. Everybody has an ancient religion. I am willing to bet that if you looked at your bloodline right now and you could see where your family came from 30,000 years ago up to today, or even 10,000 years ago, and you learned about what ancient rituals they conducted and what ancient symbols they used, you would be able to not only find some type of welcoming back, you feel like you're going back home, right? In these ancient religions, but you'd also be able to draw power from these symbols, from these lessons. It would resonate you. So let me give you another example, right? Me being that of somebody who, my grandparents just moved out of Germany, one generation ago. So what is that? They moved here in the 60s, right? So I'm fresh German blood, essentially. I am 100% American till the day I die. I love this country. Best country in the world. I will argue that every day, and I will always think that America is the best country in the world. But I know that my blood comes from Germany, comes from Norway, comes from Denmark and England. So if I can trace my lineage back 30,000 years to those points, and I can deduce that the oldest religion that my ancestors worshipped were also true, you know, the old gods, that I would resonate with that more than if I just walked into a Native American's smoke lodge and started worshiping their gods. You know what I mean? There's a genetic tie to whatever ancient religion you came from. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to be a profound thing. So for example, if my German friend doesn't know a lick of anything about his ancient religion, I'm not saying I put a rune in his hand and he's like, and falls over. And then all of a sudden, I'm saying that the more you dive into it and the more you learn about it, you're learning more about yourself, because your history is you. Your ancient religion is you. These ancient symbols, they are you. Everything that our ancestors created, everything that our ancestors followed, got you, no matter where you come from in the entire world, got you to where exactly you are right now listening to this podcast because of that ancient mythology, because of that ancient religion, that ancient code, that ancient doctrine, that ancient warrior culture, whatever it is that you came from. Do not forget the significance of your mythology. Do not forget the significance of your ancient religion, your ancestors, no matter who you are. And I have to specify this because when I start talking about this, I get idiots who, when I tell them that I'm a follower of the old gods or the Norse religions, I get called instantly. 9 times out of 10. Oh, you give power to the Aryan nation? No, you're a white supremacist? No, I appreciate mythology. I appreciate religions. I appreciate who I am as a person, and I want to give that power to you no matter who you are. Learn about where you came from. Learn about what gave your ancestors strength and be proud of that. That's the gift that they gave you. I once read this quote. I don't remember who it was from, but I wrote about it one time. And I'll end the podcast with this. I know that there's more that I want to hit on, but I want to end on a high note. I want to end on this. Never forget about your ancestors behind you. Know that they got you here for a reason. They gave you a gift, and that gift is life, guys. They have suffered so much. Suffering that we would never, ever, ever be able to imagine to get you to this point to where you are right now. I cannot even begin to fathom the amount of suffering that they encountered. Now, never forget your ancestors behind you. They are in you, they will always be in you, and you are them. Now, never forget your kin in front of you, your children, your future children, or the children that you have now, because they are the future. You are the ancestors behind them. They are the kin in front of you. They are the symbol of hope. And that's what these ancient mythologies teach us. It gives us a sense of direction, a sense of being. It surrounds us in this sphere of life. So we have our ancestors behind us. We have our kin in front of us down the road. And then don't forget the gods above you. Don't forget the lessons that they offer you. Don't forget the power that their symbols give you. Don't forget the divine. Don't forget that you're here for a reason. Don't forget these things. Don't forget the earth underneath you that grounds your feet and gives you nutrients and gives you supplies and it gives you the ability to move forward. It gives you the oxygen. It gives you the water. When you remember all these things behind you, in front of you, on top of you, below you, you have this profound sense of direction and stability. And no matter how rough things get, you can always draw back to this mythological sphere that has been surrounded by you, by just millennia of our family members. With that being said, guys, this episode was called The Power of Myth. I appreciate all of you guys listening. This was a really fun episode to do. I'm going to end it here. You guys have a good day.